Hamish Macbeth, Death of an Honest Man. Hamish Macbeth, Book 33. Written by M.C. Beaton and read by David Monteith.
Chapter 1. A little sincerity is a dangerous thing, and a great deal of it is absolutely fatal. Oscar Wilde. The day had started out well for Sergeant Hamish Macbeth. It was high summer, with golden light bathing the little village of Lochdu, situated in Sutherland in the northwest of Scotland. The air was pure and fresh and scented with pine from the forest on the other side of the sea loch. A yacht sailed in, and the put-put-put of the donkey engine was the only sound to break the silence of the early morning. Hamish's beat was the whole of the county. He was helped by his amiable, although clumsy, sidekick, Police Constable Charlie Carter. Hamish was tall, but Charlie was even taller, and so, after breaking too many things at the police station, Charlie had found himself a little apartment in the basement of the Tummel Castle Hotel. He had joined Hamish for breakfast, and now both men were leaning against the sea wall, gazing dreamily at the water.
"There's a new chap over at Nothin," said Charlie. "Are we going to see him?"
"May as well," said Hamish. "Know anything about him?"
"Not a lot. Name's Paul English, retired banker."
"Oh, dear," said Hamish. "Nothin's a sour place. Better give him a welcome."
"Will we take the dogs?"
"I suppose so," said Hamish reluctantly.
He had two dogs, one called Lugs because of his large ears, and the other, a little poodle called Sally. But somehow, ever since the day he had released his wildcat, Sonsy, into the wildcat sanctuary at Ardamurchan, he could not feel the same affection for the dogs.
"I forgot to ask you," said Hamish, as he negotiated the police Land Rover down Nothin's main street, "where this Paul English lives."
"You go along the waterfront, and it's a bitty along. One of they Victorian villas, meant to look like a Swiss chalet, but ends up looking like something out of Charles Adams."
Hamish detested Nothin, and thought it the sourest village in the Highlands. But even in this place, with the sun sparkling on the loch, nothing could dampen his mood. That was until he met Paul English. For after Paul had ushered them into his front living room and said his first words, Hamish thought he had never before come across anyone so armoured in smugness. His first words were,
"You gay men are always dyeing your hair."
Hamish's hair was deep red.
"It is my own colour," said Hamish,
his Highland accent becoming more sibilant, as it always did when he was angry. Paul shrugged his fat shoulders.
"At least I do have hair," said Hamish,
for Paul was bald.
"Welcome to the neighbourhood."
Paul English was a tubby man, with a smug face. His very eyebrows looked smug. He had a small, pursed mouth. His accent was from somewhere in the lowlands.
"We'll be off then," said Hamish. "No need to dash off. I was just about to have coffee. Please join me."
"Give him a chance," said the voice of Hamish's conscience.
"Thank you," he said.
Charlie lowered himself carefully onto the sturdiest chair he could see. Hamish looked around the room. Sterile, was his first thought. The carpet was fitted, a sort of mud-brown colour to match the mud-brown linen covers on the sofa and two armchairs. There were no curtains at the windows. Instead, there were dark green blinds, half drawn down. A glass coffee table was in front of the sofa, and an ugly, old-fashioned two-bar electric fire was set in front of the fireplace. There were no books or pictures. The ceiling was high. A glass bowl with one light bulb inside, and the corpses of flies, hung from the centre. The wind suddenly soughed through the weather outside with a mournful whistling sound. Paul picked up a brass bell in the shape of a crinoline lady from the coffee table and rang it.